All right, Charles, we are down to last part of the show. Are you ready?
Are you saying that we're in a countdown that could possibly eliminate options? Because that might be relevant to the wrestling world, folks. Right. So I am ready if you are ready, sir and good mighty.
Yeah, we're ready.
My graphic on, let's see. Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to your weekly Trueplex, The Cage with Charles. Standard disclaimers, we all know wrestling is not fake. It is scripted. It's a stage fight. It's song and dance and ballet and poetry and motion. It's the stories about men and women chasing championships, chasing glory, chasing WrestleMania dreams for relevancy. It's also about people just wanting to beat the holy crap out of each other. And right now, everybody kind of want to beat the crap out of each other, despite the low ratings. But what's also wrestling? A comedy. It's a comedy because when you have a woman missing a leg drop on an apron, screaming, ow, my butt, and then about 15 seconds later goes and says, ow, my hole, boy, do I laugh at cheap comedy? And so does Vince McMahon. So here we be, folks. We talk about eliminating. Well, Elimination Chamber is upon us. I think it's a week from Sunday. They've already started out the cards in the WWE world. What do we know? For some reason, for some God-forsaken reason, things that make no sense, not all the main titles are going to be in Elimination Chamber. What's the Elimination Chamber, you ask, Charles? It is a steel structure of doom, of destruction, where people enter a pod. It's going to happen February 21st, but we're going to talk a little bit about it today, because there's not as much to talk about in the wrestling world yet, in my opinion, so we can kind of talk about it. The Elimination Chamber has people entering in that chamber, about six people, and it's in a, you can't see me, but quotation marks, random order selection, who comes in, who comes out, and the last person standing essentially is your new champion. The one thing I don't understand and why we're in it is because the build has not been that good for Elimination Chamber. Remember, the Royal Rumble was just last week. Edge had won it. Charles loved it. Made me feel all good, warm, and tingly inside. I definitely do not understand the internet community because God knows they're pissy pants all the time. But anyway, they announced the Elimination Chamber for the Raw segment yesterday. It was a low Raw, by the way. 1.7 million in the ratings, which is no bueno. You don't have Monday Night Football anymore. Who are you going against? The news? Yeah, get more people in there, man. Say, stay away from the news. Come watch us. But they announced the WWE Championship.
By the way.
Oh, God. Don't do that.
I need some
don't
meme coin. Meme. Yeah? Doge.
Don't do it for the meme. Don't do it for the meme. That's been like a certain thing in my other group chat.
I threw 10 bucks at it. Come on.
You know what 10 bucks can get you? Two bacon chalupas at Taco Bell.
I just saw the commercial.
So as you see in the graphic in the background, you have already the six announced entries. So I believe it should always be this for Elimination Chamber. I believe title should be defended in there. The last couple of years has been for number one contender spots in the Royal, or not the Royal Rumble, but leading to WrestleMania. And that bothers me, because why would I want to go through steel and destruction and breaking through glass pods and trying to survive five other superstars or wrestlers, depending on what Vince wants to call them throughout the day, if all it's going to leave me a contender shot when contenderships could just be given at some point, earned, whatever, throughout the weeks. But I'm already kind of hating it because we got Drew McIntyre. We know I want Drew to drop the title. I have not been liking his second run. He had to face Goldberg. It was bad. He was doing something with Sheamus, the guy who looks like he came out of Assassin's Creed Syndicate, the white shirt, the red beard, the little bowler hat, looking like he's a mean, you know, green posse over there. Great wrestler. He just turned on Drew. So why don't we just like do that match, Elimination Chamber, and then we do the chamber matches for the women's championships and maybe the SmackDown championship? Because the whole storyline of the building into everything is that, oh, has Edge decided who's going to face at the Royal Rumble? And now they're doing it with Bianca Belair, and it's like, oh, hey, who's Bianca going to go face the Royal Rumble? But let me enjoy the Elimination Chamber, because this is your last chance to make me believe that there's going to have some impact and relevancy going to WrestleMania, because the pay-per-view after this is Fastlane in March, and we know nothing's going to happen. Maybe you have like a mid-card title change, but the WWE Championship is not going to change in March. And my problem is, you already had Drew and Sheamus just about to start a feud, and now you're including a whole bunch of these other guys. Once again, we have Randy Orton interfering, or he's going to be in the match. Well, we're waiting for the Fiend. He toasts the guy alive the same way that Francisco toasts his arepas and how we toasted the town of Tampa Bay. Sorry, it happened. Or the city of Tampa Bay. You have Jeff Hardy, who is fine, but he hasn't done anything the last couple of weeks. He was jobbing out to Elias and feuding for Elias and then beating Elias. AJ, we like AJ. Charles is not going to say ill will. He's the one I mentioned that can give me a 4-star match and a handicap match with my buddy helping out. Miz has been booked as a loser. So I don't understand what he got to be in there. But then you see him with the Money in the Bank briefcase. So he already has the briefcase. So unless you're going to do the ultimate swerve, which would be have him first eliminated, and then at the very end, have Drew beat out everybody and then have Miz cash it in. I'll tell you right now, I would love that. Because it's like the ultimate FU and a great way to kind of defend that reign. But what I'm saying is a lot of those guys are not exceptional choices to consider. And mind you, the Raw roster is a little bare, but it doesn't fit per se, especially if you're going to feud with Sheamus and Drew. Not a big fan of it. Wasn't crazy. What I am a big fan of is they announced it yesterday, because there's mixed storylines coming in where they're going to have Bobby Lashley, the man who I think literally eats children so he can have the best traps in the world, who has been booked better than Drew McIntyre as a United States champion, because he just wants to murder you now. He's part of the Hurt Business, and boy, he is the CEO because he put on Hurt. Look at this man. He is scary. You know, I still dream for the dream match of Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, but man, the way you're booking him, I like it. He just wants to hurt you. Please. They have him, Keith Lee, and Matt Riddle in a triple threat for the U.S. Championship. And right now, yes, I understand it's a copy and paste of what we had Friday on SmackDown, which was Big E versus Sami Zayn versus Apollo Crews in a triple threat for the mid-card title there. But there's a difference. This is just beginning. Even though Riddle and Lashley have been feuding, and Lashley and Lee did have a match a couple months back to which Lashley low-blowed him, the Big E match resolved itself because now Sammy has effectively been pinned twice or has lost twice and has opportunities for a rematch. Now you can go feud with Apollo and Big E. But this match I'm about because it's a different set of styles. You have Bobby Lashley, who's just Murder Ton 3000. You have Matt Riddle, known as Riddle because Vince doesn't want you to research his first name, Matt, because that's when you see the sexual assault charges, or not charges, necessarily not charges, or redacted claims. So, you know, they want to hush-hush that publicity, so that's why he's Riddle, who is that kind of Spicoli-esque, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High wrestler, talented wrestler, kind of funny. It's a different dynamic. He has a very MMA background. And then you have Keith Lee, who you know I was big on in the NXT, and Vince has ruined him. Fat-shamed him a little bit, I think, by going and giving him a singlet of an entire when he used to wrestle shirtless. I wouldn't mess with Keith Lee. I wouldn't call him fat. He'd beat the hell out of me. But putting into a triple threat match, I think, lets Bobby still kind of be protected if he loses, leads him to Mania, or allows him to lose that title but go back and challenge Drew properly. Because I had a match in June or July at Extreme Rules, but it was a one-off, and I felt like it should have been more. But the way you've been booking him as just a destroyer, especially how he was in the Royal Rumble, there's potential. And the great thing about triple threat matches is that you can get a diverse set of styles, because it's not the three guys trying to beat the hell out of each other nonstop. There's sequences, there's pauses, it's two on two, there might be both guys are down, and you're going to make everybody look good. Your boy is a fan of that. But I'm not a fan of Lacey Evans and Asuka. I like Lacey as a character. But her inclusion with Ric Flair to get over on Charlotte is going to cost my girl Asuka real credibility, unless we're going to Asuka heel turn. Then I'm about that. But last night on Raw, for some reason, Lacey Evans went against Charlotte. And if Lacey beat Charlotte, she would get a title shot Elimination Chamber. But all Lacey's been doing, here's my problem with wrestling. You need to treat wrestling and getting contenderships like you do boxing. The guy who only has 3 wins to his name does not automatically get a world title shot. This ain't UFC, because they're so low on names, I have to throw whoever's out there, because UFC needs that next big name quickly, right? The rising star. Boxing's a slow man sport, man. And not slow in the art of the style, but the art of credibility. You know, you have to figure out who to appoint. And I feel like that should be with wrestling, because if you have too many people who just don't deserve the opportunities, how are we going to know as viewers if they're lower card, if they're mid-card talent, or they're main event talent, if you keep hopscotching them? Lacey had been losing in the tag teams with Peyton Royce. Now she's going over on Charlotte because obviously Vince sees something in her, and there's something there. There's some talent. Her ring work is still very green, but the character work, because here's the thing about wrestling. Sometimes you're a good wrestler, and sometimes you're a good entertainer. And the WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. So if you fill one of those qualifications, you can get that paycheck. But you could do better than this, because how is it that you beat her via DQ and you get Asuka for a Raw Women's Championship? Wouldn't it just make sense to allow Asuka to be a dominant champion and defend her championship in the Elimination Chamber against five other women and murder them all? And then you can give me Charlotte and Asuka for the title at Mania. Again, I understand we're replaying it, but all the best rivalries had multiple matches at Mania. Austin Rock. They went three times, baby. Taker Michaels. Taker H went three in different generations. You gotta build it. They don't want to do that. And I talked to my buddy about it earlier. I think Lacey's going to win. I think it'll be chicanery that happens. And then it's just going to be a way to take the title off Asuka, which it is probably time to take that title off of her anyway. She's had it since Money in the Bank, when she basically won it in Money in the Bank, but the briefcase was really the title, not a title opportunity, because Becky Lynch got pregnant or was pregnant already. But I just can't get behind it, man. And it's that illogical booking that I kind of hate. What I will leave to this to the future, because we're going to go to some other stuff. We're going to go to New Japan. You know how I feel about New Japan. Got a little, you know, man crush on those guys there. I leave it at this, where there's still time to build it and make it interesting, but now's the time where you need to integrate that pay-per-view to other storylines for WrestleMania. I need a clear vision. What I need you to do is fix the tag teams. Who do you want to represent Raw or SmackDown for the tag team titles? What are we doing about Edge? Like, I don't want to wait 2 months from Edge to make his decision. It's pretty clear cut. It's going to be him and Roman. I believe I sent you the promo of Roman screaming, saying he's playing games with me, and he just shouts, "Why would you play games with me?" to Edge. We want that, because I think it's a better style clash. I think there's a better story being told. One's a tribal chief. The other one is the guy who miraculously coming back, and he's going to be murdered by the tribal chief, and that's what you should do. By no means should Edge win whatsoever. If he does, I'll live with it. But you got to get that heat on that heel. And to beat the guy that everybody loves, who has this feel-good story, is just miraculous. And also, I'm intrigued, Francisco. I'm intrigued of what we're going to do with Kevin Owens, because I thought it was done. And he shows up on SmackDown, just stuns Roman, and goes on. Is him and Edge going to work as a tag team against Uso and Roman? I'm okay with that for Elimination Chamber, which is almost a throwaway pay-per-view. I'm okay with it. Or are we going to tease me, because you talk about slutty pancakes, we're talking about slutty wrestling, not in a bra and panties match. Are we gonna, you know, get my toppings going by possibly finding a way to extend Owens and Roman into a triple threat match at Mania? And you might say, Charles, is that excessive? Well, I'm a glutton, baby. That's what happens, because I think it protects Edge and his ring rust, because there was some ring rust there. Not the Royal Rumble when he had his match with Randy Orton. And it continues a feud where both men could just kill each other and Edge wins. And it's like, okay, that's fine. It all makes sense. And then allows a further story to proceed. So I'm intrigued. Going over to Dynamite, because there's nothing going on with Impact. I implore everybody to watch Beating the Elite. You know, not all the time, but to watch it for the Dark Order segments, because that's where some of their stories are actually developing, such as the Dark Order falling in love with Adam Page, wanting him to join, and then he's not going to join because he's been hurt before by being in the group because he was part of the Elite. And, you know, they're obviously looking for the void since Brody passed. But now Matt Hardy, that's right, the brother of Jeff Hardy, who's in the Elimination Chamber, look at that, all comes together, is trying to recruit Hangman Page for the Big Money Matt Enterprise. And so in the Being the Elite segment five, so they're writing out these Valentine's Day cards, because Valentine's Day, come around, get your boo something like a Henry Handy shirt at our Sports Group website, or our Fire Thighs shirt, or a hoodie. I think we make hoodies. Francisco hasn't made anything for himself. I think he has a lot of quotable stuff. Would you really gotta put yourself out there? You know, I mean, I'm a slut for pancakes. I mean, really could be your motto.
I will do that later.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, there's stuff that you can go into. We can go, you need to expand it, you know, because you're so good at everything, you know, master of all, man. So they are writing things, and all of them write like love letters to Wardlow, who's like this big, like, jack dude, and Stu Grayson. And I don't know if it's stage, I don't know if anything's like, I mean, I know it's stage, but it's like pre-written. But he's talking about his Valentine's Day card for Wardlow, and goes, you know, you pull hard, you push hard, you are hard, and so am I. That's like the card he gave, and I died. I was on the ground. I was just done. But five goes to Hangman to give him his Valentine's Day card, because that's who he chose. He goes to Wardlow. Wardlow's like, where's my card? Because everybody gave Wardlow a card. He's like, where's my card? He goes, I'm sorry, you're not my type. It was just so funny. And then he goes to Hangman. Hangman is kind of like, in a way, he doesn't even see the card, leaves it. And then Five puts it into Hangman's jacket. And of course, in pure soap opera, because wrestling is a soap opera, Matt Hardy sees it, reads the letter, rips it up so Hangman can never see it. Because even though Hangman Page broke the hearts of the Dark Order, that story's not done yet. I think I sent you guys that breakup session. It was hard, man. I almost cried, but it was great. It felt like an episode of The Bachelor. I see ABC in the background. That's what it felt like. You know, choose me, Adam. He hasn't chosen his clique yet. And AEW is getting too faction heavy because I feel like they're mimicking New Japan. And yes, they are still going with the whole co-breeding, as I call it. It's not even interbrand. It's like co-breeding. Basically, we're having three ways of wrestling because New Japan's in it. That's how we segue to that. Kenta is teaming up with Kenny Omega to go against Pac and Jon Moxley. I believe that's correct. I forgot who Moxley's teammate might be, but I believe it's that because Moxley is what? The New Japan US champion. We talked about it last week. I'm not crazy about it. I feel like it's going to mix some guys down. And if this is what you need to do to survive in the pandemic world, I get it. But how is this going to set out the storylines coming back all together? So that has its concerns for me. New Japan, though, we have the new beginnings in Hiroshima. Coming in, the pay-per-view starts tomorrow and goes the next day. Two-night event. Some good matches are going to be there. First one that you're going to have is Hiromu Takahashi versus Sho. I call Hiromu the Japanese pimp because I love his style. He's so flashy. It's like Bootsy Collins in the Japan world versus Sho. It's for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Boy, can those guys go. That's definitely going to be kind of like a match of the night that I'll be excited for. I'll make sure to watch it. Guerrillas of Destiny versus Dangerous Trekkers. You know, remember, everything is a faction. Guerrillas of Destiny is Tama Tonga and Tonga Lau, and they're part of Bullet Club, who's also part of the people that you see in the Being the Elite. Like I said, crossbreeding is a bad thing sometimes. We'll talk about that probably in a couple weeks when it all blows up in our faces, or it's perfect. Dangerous Trekkers is part of Suzuki Gun. We love Minoru Suzuki. He's the king. But they've been kind of going out a little bit. I feel like they need to spice up that tag team a little bit. I don't know if they've been hurt in the amount of challengers to go for that title because of the virus, but it's a possibility. Night two, that's when it comes into the big match that we talk about, Kota Ibushi versus Sonata. And even though I don't think Sonata is going to win, obviously not, because you can't flip-flop, I think something's going to happen in the match, and I hope something happens in the match, where they make the determination that they have to stop having one champion hold both titles as double belts. Because it's not as even he's defending the, let's say, Kota's not defending the, goofception, it's not defending the Intercontinental title one night and then the heavyweight title the next night. It's at the same time for the double belt, so you're not gonna merge it, because I think you kind of ruin the legacy of both titles. But I'm getting sick of it. You've done it for a year. It's lost its meaning. Good for Code for basically being a wrestling god, but they gotta find a way. So I think they can kind of split that a little bit going into it, and that'll be interesting. They're also doing the, so this you find this ring because we don't talk about it that much. They have a six-man tag team championship. So, you know, there's your standard tag teams, which is two people going against each other. They do the six-man, which is three versus three. So Chaos, which Marvel is a faction. Pretty much, which is Tomohiro Ishii, Hiroki Goto, who I've been watching a lot of his. I don't know why, but lately I've been seeing like, okay, these guys, I'm going to talk about New Japan. I should do a learner goof sometimes on a slow segment, whatever, about the New Japan wrestlers, because I could talk all day about the WWE stuff, but the New Japan stuff even informs me and gets me all into it. They're defending that never open weight championship against Bullet Club's Jay White, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Lau. So yes, the same people who were already defending in the prior night, their tag team championships are now going to be going for the triple threat. And I think they win it, because why? It brings over the Bullet Club to defend titles in AEW. And it's been rumored that AEW wants to introduce a three-man championship. I don't like to call it a six-man tag team championship because it makes no sense. I think Lucha Libre calls it the AAA triples, which I kind of really like that a little bit more. What would you call a stack, a three-stack of dynamites? Maybe you can do something like wordplay, like they have the TNT championship. Make it fun, make it cute, do something with it. But that's going to be interesting. Should be some good matches throughout the night. And we'll see from there. And that's, I think, all I got for you this week in the cage, man.